I'm going to play a clip. Go ahead, bro. Play a clip. Hallelujah. Yeah. All right. One thing, I've been warned not to get too animated. I've been told to calm down. No names, please. I've been told to just stay cool. I say, if the Holy Spirit takes over, I can't help it. All right. My message last week when I started out, when I was told to share, I had this title, Say What? Say Power. All right. So that was my title, and I supposed to build a body around Say Power, say words. However, things changed when Pastor Christian started talking about you. We are the church. We are the church. And then when Jeremy came up and started talking about sports, you know, and then I said, okay. Somehow I saw that it's leading. It's being changed. Last couple of days, it's being changed. The message slowly is leaning towards. Okay, Lord, what are you trying to tell me now? Okay. Fan. I'm going to talk to you about being a fan of God. What you just heard is nothing. It's nothing. That's just a loud crowd cheering. All right? What you're going to hear in heaven is like 1,000 times louder than that, bigger than that. But I've got several verses in Revelation, and they all sing in unison. If you want to see it, it's Revelations 5, 11 to 13. All right? Revelations 7, 9 to 12. Revelations 19, 16, 6 to 8. But let me tell you, heaven's a very noisy place. It's a very excited place. Exciting place and excited. And there's no time duration. It goes on forever and ever. I got news for those introverts. You got to get used to it, man. Get used to it because, you know, you're up there. You're not going to look to your left nor to your right. You're so busy worshiping the Lord that you don't even take notice of time. And for that note, you guys can take off your watch. You don't have to look at the time. All right? Now, we are all excited about a game, someone, something. We are all excited. Nobody can say, you know what? I got no passion for any hobby, anything. You know, nah. Unless you're 6 feet under, you tell me that, I believe. But there is somebody you idolize. There's something that you crave. There's some games that you really follow. There's something that you're really passionate about. All right? I'm going to stir your mind, stir up your emotions, and bring you. Challenge you at the end of this morning, you'll be passionate for God. And how to sustain it, how to keep it. Let's not be Jack in the Flash. Today I'm rah, rah, rah for Jesus, and then tomorrow, man, after a few couple of knocks, no time for God, man. The things of this world are just crowded. That's the tactic of the enemy. Following Jesus is a marathon. It's not the 100-meter sprint. It is not a dash. It's a marathon. You pace yourself, you feed on the word that's being shared from the pulpit, you go and you exercise. And last week I was sharing with you, you know the greatest joy that there is, following Jesus? It's not following something that's tangible, that we can touch. It's something that you can't see, something that's eternal, something that's, you know, things you can't see, those things that last. Selfishness, foolishness, you know, like envy. We can't see all those things. But things that are good, things that are pure, things that are good report, encourage, you know, like those are good things. And that's the exciting part. Now, coming back to my notes. We saw the UEFA Soccer Europe World Cup the other day. Portugal won, beat France 1-0. There's this adult. The camera was panning, you know, zooming on this adult French guy crying. You know, he was bawling his eyes out, wearing the colors, and he's bawling his eyes out. And this little kid comes along, maybe Well, let's say like maybe Joachim's age or a little older, you know.
27.
Yeah. Comes along. He's a Portugal friend. He, you know, came, touched the adult. And the adults, you know, like, don't worry about it. And they hugged the little kid, you know. And the little kid, you know, the adult just hugged and just shook his hand and went on. That video clip went viral worldwide. Talk about passion, okay? Now, so building from what has Jeremy has led us into. So, what exactly is a fan? What is a fan? I've written some notes here, and these are just my own, you know, ideas, or, you know, I didn't solicit from anybody. Maybe I could have missed out. Maybe you could have thought of something else different. So that's fine. Just bear along with me. Pre-game, before the big day, a fan reads all about his team or her team. You do the research. You go and get the numbers. You find out which individual player is, you know, who is hitting what is hitting who, or whatever, the logistics of the players. You know intimately each one, be it golf, be it anything. You know their standings, their ratings, where they are. This is before the game day. You talk about your team with everybody you meet. Your favorite team. Hey, who are you supporting? You know, I support Germany. Oh, okay, no, you know. So I support Portugal. Yeah, let's talk about Portugal, blah, blah, blah. You go on and on. Your whole mind is filled with your team, the players, the stats, the logistics of each individual. Right? And you go and research. Okay, where are the home games? Where are the away games? Where are they playing next? You know? And not only that, you look at the calendar and say, oh, you know what? I'll probably play hooky on that day, or I take off. If I can't get off, call in sick. I'll go for that game. Hey, I'm just telling it like it is. All right. So a fan, you know, you're so passionate about the game, you do everything to be there. All right. Now, what happens on game day? So on game day, say the game starts at 5. Man, you're there 9 a.m. You're there way before the time. You probably know there'll be those sports bars. They're all open. They have everybody wearing the colors. Some guys will have painted face. Their hair goes mohawk, painted colors of the team's colors. You know, they're so engrossed with the colors of the team. They paint their bodies. You know, you name it. You've seen it. It's not something that I'm pulling out of fantasy, but it's true. You'll be there so early. Right? You're dressed in the team's colors. You bring all the paraphernalia, the vuvuzelas, the drum, the horn, the whatever, the cymbals. You want to be cheering for the team. Right? This is game day. You're going to sit in your team's colors. Be part of the whole crowd, but you're all same colors. Right? You go and buy the team souvenirs, go to the sports stores. Already you have 1,000. Well, 1,000, the one more one won't hurt. You get another one. So you have a huge collection of the team's souvenirs. Well, game day, then the countdown. In fact, you silence your cell phone. There's no time to talk on the phone. You know, you probably be busy taking pictures of everything that's happening. You're engrossed in that moment of the event. You know, you're soaking every minute of it. And you keep looking at the clock. Wow, it's 1 o'clock. Okay, grab some lunch. Okay, go and get some hot dogs. Go and get some burgers. And because your arm in the lake. Hey, it's okay, man. You know, it's for my team. Grab your meal. And then the hours start clicking down, countdown. 3, 2 o'clock, 3, 4, 4:30. Oh, there's some activities, there's some movement in the pen or wherever. And then 5 o'clock, your colors come out. Before 5 o'clock, everybody's standing and cheering. Wow! You know, they cheer themselves, of course, even before the game starts. Okay, and then time for the national anthem. Every okay, stand, right, national anthem. Oh, look around. Whoa, it's so exciting to be here. Look at thousands and thousands of people. And then the flag is being displayed. And even before the national anthem could end, everybody already getting excited. All right? right?
Game day. So during the course of the game, you're your biggest critic, your biggest commentator. Some guys even have tuned into the radio station and seeing and hearing the game being played. They're listening to every minute of the game. A commentator is making the ball pass through, blah blah, whatever the game is. Right? There's the total excitement. Total excitement. You shout to yourself, you know, you can't even hear yourself above the din, the noise, the crowd. Like I say, you know, if 10,000, if 70,000, 80,000 in the audience, in the crowd, they're all shouting and cheering. You can't hear, you talk to one another, you can't even hear one another. Been there, done that. So post game, now the game goes on, blah, hour and a half, 2 hours. You give them shouting. Oh, even you have to go washroom. You hold it as long. No, I don't want to miss any of these moments. And it could be something. You know, hang on. I gotta go. Then you have to go to take a bio break. And come back and see. Did I miss anything? What did I miss? You know, you don't want to miss any second of the activity that's taking place on the field, wherever, whatever the sport is. Post game, final whistle is blown. Everybody standing up and cheering. Yeah. It could be a Christian concert. It could be a concert. It could be anything. I've been to Christian concert. Okay, thank you very much. Have a good week. You know, guy walk away. We won't even leave. He came on standing. More. We came on shouting for even more. Guys will come out, play one last song, and then that's it. Okay, you know, you can't get it anymore. You push that out. So when the game's over, players out of the field, out of the venue, you sit down and you talk. And you recall, well, every highlight that happened. Who did what? What? How was the play? You can even, you know, articulate things that you never thought you could. You know, you're so articulating, yeah, the play. You can verbalize everything. You remember every finite detail of the game. Every finite detail. And you wish the game could go on, you know, because, man, adrenaline's rushing. You're right in the stadium and it's so exciting. But you got to go. You have to go home. You can't stay here. People will shoo you out. So reluctantly, you leave the venue. You leave the homeward bound. You can't talk. You can't stop talking. Total stranger, same color. Yo, what do you think of it, man? Hey, what's awesome, man? All because they wear the same colors. All because somebody's hair was dyed the same color. Or maybe his face was painted the same color. Hey, did you see that? You just talk. You know, there's no barriers. You don't know the person at all. But because they had the same colors, you thought you could have a common camaraderie. You could speak openly. And you know what? They accepted it. Yeah, man, it was awesome. Yeah. There's nothing embarrassed about it. Right? All for the love of the sport and the team. And not only that, so you take a train, you take a bus, you go home. Open up the computer, go on social media. Oh, you got to post on Facebook. Look at my pictures. Whoa, this is good. Let's share. Whoa, share with all the friends. Go post on Facebook, on Twitter, whatever social media. You're still being excited. You're still up there, you know, and you're sharing on social media. And not only that, ladies, hey, dude, let's meet for coffee. Hey, ladies, hey, Starbucks. Okay, see you in 10 minutes. Bang, 10 minutes ago. Hey, did you see the game? Talk about it again. Right? Talk about it again. Until wee hours of the night. Maybe we'll be talking about it for a couple of days until the next game. Right? And then you offer opinions and the comments and, you know, oh, man, guys should have passed that, man. I saw that coming. And you and the coach, you're better than the coach. That's sometimes. Your comments, the way you criticize, the way you comment, like I said, you're an expert player.
who actually bought that player and saying, you know, he didn't do what he was supposed to do. And then you plan to meet up for the next event, next game. Hey, next one's happening in 2 weeks' time or next week. Yeah, and let's meet up again. Let's do it. Last but not least, you say a prayer for your team to win the next time. If there is a last, you know, World Cup or whatever, they're going to do it better next year. I'm going to pray. I'm going to light a candle for that, whatever it is. So, all these things I've said, you got the pre-game, the game itself, and post-game. I'm going to swing it, take it to a different tangent. I'm going to ask you now, are you a fan of God? But why? Must I? Should I? Do I have to? Yeah. Because many times people think church is boring. I have to go to church. It's Sunday. And there's no spark. Maybe the spark was there a long time ago, but over time, the spark flickered, and died. Even the candle, has gone off. There's no more smoke on the candle. The candle's frozen and probably broken. No more there. But why would somebody be a fan of God? Why? Remember, I mentioned your spiritual walk is a marathon. Until you get a glimpse, get that fire in your spirit, then you'll be consistent. Until you get a touch from God, an encounter from God, that fire, the enemy will always see to it, will never burn strong and bright. It's going to throw a lot of curveballs, a lot of fiery darts to put out that fire. But I pray this morning, you got ears, let your ears hear the Spirit saying, because the best time to be involved with Christianity, the best time to follow Jesus, the best time is now. Now, when we have everything available, every form of medium available to us, this is the time, the most exciting time is today to talk about Jesus, to follow Him. Don't even have to talk. Be the Christ that others need to see, who's residing in you. God's Spirit is in us. Don't say anything. Just do it. Be kind. Be merciful. Be compassionate. Be the Christ that people need to see. They come up and ask you, which church do you go to? Are you a Christian? A lot of people are hurt. A lot of people are confused. But the answer to all this is you and I. We are the mouthpiece. We are the hands. We are the feet of Jesus. But if you're taking notes, I'm going to start with one. He created all things. Here's the question is, why should I be a fan of God? He created all things. Right? Genesis 1, 1 to 5. He created all things. If you're taking notes, Genesis 1, 1 to 5. Right? We all know this. The second point, He protects us and fights for us. Psalms 3, 1 to 5 and 2 Chronicles 16, 9. It's exciting to follow Jesus, let me tell you. Psalms 3, 1 to 5. Oh Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. But you are my shield around me, O Lord. You bestow glory on me and lift up my head. To the Lord I cry aloud, and he answers me from his holy hill. Lie down and sleep. I wake up again because the Lord sustains me. 2 Chronicles 16:9, one of my favorite scripture. The eyes of the Lord goes to and fro throughout the whole land to see those whose hearts are loyal to him, so that
He can show himself powerful on my behalf, on your behalf. He's going to fight your battle. Third point, he answers prayers. John 14, 13 to 14. John 14, verse 13 to 14. And he says, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Fourth point, he provides salvation. Romans 5:8. "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." The next one, next point, he gives new life. It's found in 2 Corinthians 5, 14 to 17. 14 to 17. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. He gives us new life. Next point. He chose us. We didn't choose him. He chose us. In 2 Peter 2, 4 to 9. Imagine that. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 to 9. "For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them into a gloomy dungeon to be held for judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others, if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man, who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men. For that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials, and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment while continuing their punishment." God chose us, each one of us. Next point. He sent his Son to forgive, not condemn. God the Father sent Jesus to forgive. He sent his Son to forgive. John 3, 16 to 17. We know that for God so loved, John 3, 16, "For God so loved the world." 17. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Why must we be fan of God? Next point. He'll come back for us. John 14, 1 to 3. 1 to 3. John 14. Let's look at that. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me." That's Jesus speaking, the disciples. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you will be where I am. Isn't that amazing? He's gone to prepare a place for us. Right? Next point. Set your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. 2 Corinthians 4:18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporal, but what is unseen is eternal. And the other one is Hebrews 12:1-2. Oh, praise the Lord. Eh? Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us. Hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the cause of joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Lastly, in every event, in every game, in every sport, you always have a conclusion. It ends. You know, all good things come to an end. We always say that, you know. Nothing good will last forever. However, if you're a fan of God, let me tell you, I got good news for you. Alright? It never ends. It goes on for eternity. The passion, the excitement, the zeal of God that's consumed us will go on forever and ever. Check it out. Luke 10:20. Savior, Yabats. Luke 10:20. It tells me, however, do not rejoice that the Spirit submits to you, but rejoice that your name is written in the book of life. Revelation 20:15. I've got one more last verse, and then I'm going to share some stories. I'm going to close it. We were talking a book of life. Revelation 20:15 says, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. When you're born again, your name is written in the book of life. When the disciples came back to Jesus, when Jesus gave them power to overcome the enemy, he went out casting out demons. You know, Pastor John mentioned this before. The disciples came back and said, yo, Jesus, the demons were afraid of us. We cast them out. And I, you know, probably Jesus belly flopped each one of them. Yeah, I told them, there's nothing, man. I told you can do it. You can go in my name. That's what I said. That excitement. That euphoric moment when these guys go in and bing, bang, and speak in Jesus' name, demons flee. What happened to us? Same spirit, same Jesus. Never changed. Yesterday, today, fire, same Jesus. Same fire in those disciples. We always say, we want it to be the book of Acts. We want to be the church, the book of Acts. Oh, it's too hot, brother. I can't come, man. It's too far. I can't take the bus, man. Oh, man, I got some other things happening. Yo, action speaks louder than words. Yeah, action. That's why I say, pick up the cross. You know, it's sacrificial. But when you do it unto the Lord, see, these things happening. You see things happening. Sometimes, how then, Brother Fed,
If you tell me all about this, how then do I jumpstart my faith? How then do I get excited for God? How then do I come rah-rah for God, but I want to be constant? I don't want to be rah-rah for God today and then tomorrow a thunderstorm, a thunderclap comes into my spiritual faith, bang, and I'm down again. I seem to be like a yo-yo in my faith with God. Well, the prayer I would recommend, or I would suggest is, Lord, let me have a personal encounter with you. Let me have that personal encounter with you. Because once I've encountered you, I know my faith will not change. Mm-hmm. It's like an anchor to my faith. Mm-hmm. Once I have that encounter with you, Lord, like Saul to Paul, and once that happens, come what may, you know the cross is always true. You know God is always faithful. You know what He says will always happen. You know the Word is always true. Because you already encountered it. You overcome small issues. And then when the big Goliath stands in your way, say, dude, piece of cake, man. God has delivered me from all these. You're a piece of cake. Your faith will speak. Your faith will rise up into action. Because you already have an encounter with God. Otherwise, it's all head.
Right. Amen.
Everything we say is all head. We've been here 20 over years. If it's all head, man, our head probably be swelling up in knowledge like that. Mm-hmm. Faith has a voice. Your ears must hear your mouth speak. That's why when say power, speak. From here, you speak, goes to here. When it's here, once it's in here, you can run that marathon, brother, sister. Once it's in here, you will never say, God is a liar. Once it's in here, you'll never doubt. All right? Now, even in here, you need encounter. Even the encounter may not be like supernatural, zazam, the clouds will open. No. What did God speak to you this week? Did I hear Holy Spirit talking to me? Did I reach out to someone? I talked to somebody, God loves the person. Holy Spirit is always talking. Father God is always speaking. But we're not listening. We're too busy. It's not that we are not listening. We become engrossed with the activities of our world. And that's the scheme of the enemy, get you so busy. Mm-hmm. You need to take step aside and be still. God, oh yeah. I need to call the person. Oh yeah, let me just make a phone call. Hello, how are you doing? Who knows, that phone call may have saved the person from committing suicide. Mm-hmm. Don't wait. Whatever God drops in your heart, do it. Personally, my encounter with God, and we came at 27 years ago. Nothing. Kids were small. Just a baggage. 3 bags. Today, it's all by the grace of God, but I know God is faithful. Because my cry to God at that time is, God, if you can do it for Abraham, who was just led by faith and lived a life by faith, I am going to trust you as well for everything. Where we are today is grace of God, but that's not how my encounter. My encounter with God happened in Brooklyn School. Church was in Brooklyn School. We had a evangelist, I think it was John Finocchio at that time. We were worshiping God. He was talking about the Father's love. Now, I lost my dad when I was 14. My dad was an absentee dad. That means he comes home during his vacation, gets his beer, go and dig me some worms, I want to go fishing, then that's my duty, I'm going to go take a hoe and go to the yard or wherever, I'm going to dig him a can of worms so my dad can go fishing. And then after his vacation, he goes back to the jungles. He was a drilling engineer in the jungles, in the mines.
So John Fennekill at that time was ministering, talking about the Father's love. I really never experienced my Father's love. I lost my dad when I was 14. And after that, I, you know, became a young adult right away because mom doesn't know English, and I took care of my dad's estate, taking mom to the lawyer, translating, being an interpreter, and suddenly, you know, whole family responsibility came upon my shoulders. But during this service, the anointing was so strong, talking about the Father's love, I was shaking like a leaf when the Holy Spirit touched me. I just bawled right there in the seat. And not only that, I was besides myself, you know. I was emotionally drained. Like, whoa, this is bizarre, man. Like, love of the Father just jam hit me like a rock. I just melted. Whatever walls I had that day, couldn't stand anything what God was doing. I came up. Pastor John was, you know, he just gave me a hug. I was crying in Pastor John's shoulders at that time. Just hugged me and let me just bawl. I don't know whether he was wearing a suit or not. I don't know. I can't recall that. The following week, and after that, no, following week, I left for BC. I went fishing with a friend. Went to BC. Sunday, went to church. Went to a big church, in fact. It's huge. And being a visitor, I sat right at the back. Sat right at the back of the church, you know. Which visitor would want to come right in the front, you know, wearing visitor tag and whatnot. Right at the back. Become inconspicuous, you know, hide myself. The pastor was preaching, was on the pulpit, like our gym on the stage. He was delivering a sermon, and then he stopped. I got a message for somebody right at the back. You're wearing this shirt. You're a visitor here. I want to tell you God's love for you, the Father, the love of the Father for you does not change. I look around. I was the only visitor. He described the color of my shirt. And I cried again. I cried again. Ah. Who in the world would have told the pastor about this that happened to me 1 week ago? Who would have said, hey, speak to that person, make him feel good? None other than the Holy Spirit. And ever since that time, it's imprinted into my spiritual memory, into my heart, and I never doubted the love of God for his people. I never doubted the Father's love. It's solid as a rock, and God is solidly faithful to every part of his word, and everything he has done for us, through us, led us through this church, each one of us, is true and true and true. That was my personal encounter. And that's why when it comes to prayer meeting, when it comes to service, I'm sold out for God. I'm sold. I'm a fan. I come in early. I talk about him. I share notes. I talk to whoever wants to listen about God. Once you get me talking about God, I can't stop. God, I'm a fan of God. Yeah, and I look forward to prayer meeting, gathering, fellowship, Bible study, anything. Because once you get that encounter, your life will not, it will not be the same. But the challenge is, do you dare to pray for that? Do you dare to say, Lord, let me have the encounter? But let me tell you, it's even most exciting, and you've heard me saying this many times, better than Indiana Jones, better than any James Bond movie put together, 100 times better than that, following the Lord, who has already defeated the enemy, who has already seated in the right hand, and he's praying for me, and he said, hey, go get what belongs to you.
your health, your wealth, your peace. It's all there, man. It's all for you. It's all done deal. Why are you fighting and struggling and thinking that you need my affirmation? Sometimes we think that, God, I need to do one more extra so that you'll be pleased with me. Forget it. God is already pleased with you. Your name, once you're born again, your name is already written in the book of life. Go and claim what is rightfully ours. The enemy don't want you to hear this. The enemy will always, we always sing, under my feet. But do you really live like that? Do you live that victorious life? Is there a song in your spirit? Or is it coming to church is just mundane, day-to-day, week-to-week thing? No, let me challenge you. Church is exciting. Church is exciting because once you get the fire going, no turning back. Nothing can stop you. But here's the dangerous part. Okay? Either you're hot or you're cold. If you're half-half, Jesus himself will vomit you out of his mouth. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. That's dangerous because why? You're fooling yourself. Lord, Lord, did I not do this in your name? Did I not cast out? Yeah, I didn't even know you. You got to get to know him. Know God. So it's better than, okay, not being cold, right? So that leaves only one option. I got to be hot. But hot, how do I keep being hot? Just be yourself. Don't be somebody else. Somebody came up to this old preacher and said, you know what, the Christianity is so hard. I try so hard. Each time I try, I keep falling down. I don't know, man. Christianity is so hard. The old man held this young kid to pull him up to the wall and say, dude, just be yourself, man. Why you be somebody else? Wear your own skin. Oh, just like that? Yeah, man. Just like that. Be yourself. Don't be who you're not. Because God's got a blueprint for each one. God's got a plan for each one. His DNA is in us. And if we walk in humility and submitted to those leading, he's going to move you one step at a time to greater challenges, greater victories, greater things. And when you look back, whoa, really? Spirit of God said, really? Yeah. And that's the exciting part. The world is dying. The world is lost. The world is lonely. There's a voice out in the world crying for help. Can you hear it? I can hear it. I heard it. I heard it many years ago. And every time I say, Lord, put a vision in my spirit. Let me be that person. I can't say, oh, let my pastors do it. Let somebody else do it. No, Lord. Count me worthy to be a foot soldier in your battle, Lord. I'm going to take the scars for you, Lord Jesus. I heard it. That's a dying world out there. That's a very lonely world out there. There are times we need to speak less and just do it. Listening ear. Be a fan of God. Be committed to his plan. Be committed to him. Above all, pray for God for that personal encounter and put a vision in your spirit. There are so many things. God is very creative, and he put the creativity through us to touch the world. Wear your own skin. Be who you are. Above all, walk with the spirit of humility. Because when we walk in humility, that's when God pours out even more grace to us. In humility. Let us pray.